You have to, it really takes to sauces well. I mean, it's fine, but you got to usually like bake it in salsa or grill it like a swordfish kind of thing. It's a relative of a swordfish.
Marlon, what does Kraken taste like? That's what we need to find out.
I can tell you exactly what it would taste like, and it would be inedible. And that's because the Kraken is actually Architeuthis, or the giant squid. It was believed to be the myth of the Kraken, the idea of a sea serpent, was from dying or surfacing giant squids where they would see the one paddle arm tentacle. There's a great book about this and about unraveling the myth of the Kraken. I'm going to take the fun out of what would a Kraken taste like. But actually, you can't eat giant squid because of the nitrogen levels in their flesh that other squids lack. And it's what allows a giant squid to be neutrally buoyant in the water. The fact that their blood is the chemical makeup of their blood that allows them to sit in the water where they do makes them inedible to us, at least.
It's a lovely name.
The hype video has begun. I've seen Pete Carroll. I've seen Brandi Carlile. There's Gary Bettman. Sean Kemp was on here, so it's starting. We got to go to break so I can watch this, Dan.
All right, so we'll have a name then. We're going to come back and talk to Andy McCullough of The Athletic about Mookie Betts' new deal, what it might mean for Chris Bryant, and just baseball with a smart baseball guy next on The Score.
This is Chicago's number one sports station, dominating Chicago sports talk for nearly three decades. 670 The Score is Chicago sports. Chicago sports is 670 The Score. Radio.com sports station.
Hey, it's Jay Zawoski. Today is opening day, and more leagues are coming back every week. I personally cannot wait to watch live baseball tonight, and I will be betting all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. If you're looking for a better way to bet your favorite sports online, check out America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel Sportsbook. They have more ways to win. There are more ways to bet. If you can dream it, you can probably bet it through FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel offers spreads, parlays, money lines, overs-unders, props, and in-game bets, all in a very easy-to-use app, very accessible if it's your first time betting on an app. And I bet for many of us, it certainly is. Unlike other sportsbooks, FanDuel accepts most major payment options, and when you win, you'll receive your winnings in your bank account in as little as 48 hours through FanDuel's safe and secure process. And by combining your sportsbook account with your fantasy account, you can use your winnings across both platforms. Check out FanDuel Sportsbook app. FanDuel, more ways to win, must be 21 plus. Location and other restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT or 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Andy Puddicombe, the host of a brand new podcast called Radio Headspace. I'd love it if you could join me to start the day in a different way. Whether you like to think of it as a thought for the day, a moment of pause, or some time to reflect. And a reminder that no matter what's going on in our lives, there's comfort to be found in coming together for just a few minutes every weekday morning. You can listen and subscribe to Radio Headspace for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen.
We'll be right back with more Dan Bernstein in 60 seconds on The Score.
During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. That's why I'm Listening is here to help you talk about mental health. We feature conversations from celebrities and mental health professionals who share how they manage anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Our mission is to combat the universally felt crisis of distance and division by promoting conversations that end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find resources and more information at imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the radio.com app today.
and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the Radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or Radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
This segment's brought to you by Door Systems, now offering touch-free doors. Call 1-800-THE-DOOR.
670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball. Listen to all 60 games of the 2020 season here.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A Radio.com sports station.
This hour is brought to you by Basement Water Stoppers.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I don't know if I ever thought about 13 years. I do know that this is essentially what I've been doing my whole life and what I've been working towards my whole life. Obviously got to thank my parents for being there each and every summer game and all those type of things. I don't think at any point did we imagine it would be 13 years, but I don't think it's very surprising either. It's obviously a long-term commitment, but I wouldn't want it with anybody else, other than some organization like this.
That's Mookie Betts. That is a very wealthy man as of yesterday, agreeing to that 13-year deal worth about $368 million or some ridiculous number like that. Actually, it's not ridiculous. It's actually what he should be getting, and he got it. Here to talk about that and more is Andy McCullough of The Athletic. He's on Twitter at @ByMcCullough. He's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Andy, how you been, man?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. So, when did this begin to be negotiated? When did we get some idea that this was in the offing?
This is something that the Dodgers have wanted to do since they traded for Mookie Betts, right? Like, they gave up, a good chunk of money. They basically bought half of David Price's contract and sold Alex Verdugo, who's a good prospect, for 1 year of Mookie Betts, and that's a lot to give up for 1 year of any player. And so the whole idea was you bring him in and you try and lock him up long term. So they were talking about this in spring training. I'm curious this is a trivial thing in the wake of the pandemic, but if there's no pandemic, I wonder what the number might have been, because they very much wanted to get this done before opening day and just lock him up and have it, ready to go. And so they had sort of preliminary discussions throughout March, and then they kind of reheated up this week, and they were able to find a number that I think, makes a lot of sense for both sides. Mookie Betts gets a ton of money guaranteed for the next 12 years after this one, and the Dodgers get, the rest of the career of Mookie Betts, who's basically the second best player in baseball. It's a win-win, really.
What does it say also about his makeup? Because guys like Andrew Friedman, I know when they talk about makeup, they mean it. It's not just a box that they check on a scouting report. That as much as some of these modern general managers like Epstein and Friedman have reputations for being analytical, there also is that other element of just being the right guy for what they want to do.
Yeah, I think that, it's important to remember, Andrew Friedman with the Dodgers has never given out a contract worth more than $93 million before this one. He's been very, very cautious about, stepping into those waters of that nine-figure type deal. He's made offers, obviously, that just haven't been accepted. So, you have to believe, one, in the talent. You have to believe, two, in the longevity. And you have to believe, three, in the sort of makeup that will fit into the culture of what you're trying to do. And so, they saw in Betts a player who checked all three of those boxes in a way that made him a better investment from their perspective than, say, Bryce Harper or Manny Machado, who they were seriously considering going after, when both those guys were on the free agent market, and they just decided they weren't the right fit. So they've been kind of, they've had this big slot open essentially for a superstar type salary they've been trying to fill for the last 3 years. They thought it might be Harper, Machado. They decided it wouldn't be. They tried to make it Garrett Cole. He went elsewhere. Anthony Rendon went elsewhere. And so, they had this space basically waiting that they were able to fill with Mookie Betts. So it's a sign of good planning by their front office and, a real positive assessment of who Betts is now and who he's going to be, down the road.
That's interesting that they needed a guy to fill that spot, because if you put it that way, where the contract has been there, the desire to do something like this has been there. It just so happens that he's the right guy at the right time. That's different than someone saying, well, look, we got this guy and now we got to bite the bullet and do this. And it wasn't quite that.
I mean, I wrote about this a little bit yesterday, but like Andrew Friedman would make like a terrible Captain Ahab. Like, he does not search for one thing at one time. So like, he is constantly working really on multiple levels in terms of, you know, like they never wanted to be in a position where maybe the Yankees were, but the Yankees had to win the bidding for Gerrit Cole. Now, the downside of being in that position is you get Gerrit Cole, but you know what I'm saying? Like, they never wanted to be in a position where they have to acquire a certain player. They always want to have the flexibility to, you know, do the thing that makes the most sense for them in the moment, short term and long term. And so they made this sort of really convoluted trade several years ago where they sent Adrian Gonzalez, Brandon McCarthy, and Scott Kazmir to the Braves and got back Matt Kemp. And they were basically trading money for like luxury tax relief. And so they reset their luxury tax number, which they've been paying penalties on for 5 years, and the penalties were going to start to get really, really prohibitive, with the idea that they would reset the tax and then blow past it at some point by spending on a superstar. And they've just been trying to find that superstar for the last 3 years, and they just kept working and working until they were able to make a deal for Betts and then lock him up.
A little bit of breaking news. I just want to mention here that Jonathan Toews is on the ice at Blackhawks practice now, and we have a new professional sports team with a really damn cool name, because the NHL team in Seattle is going to be the Kraken. It is officially the Seattle Kraken, and I, for one, think that is really awesome. So just to square the circle on some things we've been talking about earlier on the show, we're talking with Andy McCullough now. Andy, what does this mean for the obvious parallel in the Cubs and Chris Bryant, and obvious also in the way that television money may have affected their overall revenue? The Cubs are still trying to get a carriage deal with Comcast for their marquee network. We know how long it took for that to get done for the Dodgers and their TV market. Mm-hmm. What are Chris Bryant and Scott Boras talking about today as they pick over the details of this deal?
Getting more money than this, probably. I mean, knowing how, you know, Scott attacks the market is, you know, I haven't asked Scott about this, but my guess is he will say that Betts didn't get enough, because Scott, you know, always believes in, you know, pushing the market forward towards the players and getting the players paid as much as they can. So, I think in like a real politics sense, like, Mookie Betts is a better player than Chris Bryant, right? Mm-hmm. Chris Bryant's obviously awesome, but, you know, Mookie Betts is, I think, a little bit better and a little bit more durable, and maybe you can bet on him a little bit better in the future, right? So, in theory, for Mookie Betts to sign a deal that is a ton of money, but is also, you know, 12 years for $365 is a bit less than what people thought he was going to get. And so, it's a bit, you know, part of it is because of the pandemic. Part of it is because he wanted the security with the potential of a lockout coming down the road. He got a $65 million signing bonus as part of this. So I think it does make it, you know, Bryant's number a little more palatable in theory. But again, this is all in theory, and it's just going to be, it's just so difficult to predict because we just don't know. Like, this, when this came out yesterday, like, frankly, I was shocked. Because I'm not sure where the Dodgers found this money. I mean, they were deferring money to, you know, when they made a $300 million offer to Gerrit Cole several months ago. And that was before the pandemic, when they were still expecting to have revenues coming in. So it's one of those things where, like, this one kind of came out of the blue in a way that the Dodgers were able to come up with this amount. And I don't know if, you know, 29 other teams really have that wherewithal. I don't know if the Cubs have the wherewithal to do that right now, not having revenue coming in so far this year. I guess, you know, we're going to see.
If you ask them, regardless, they will say they don't. I know that. Because even before any of this happened, the Cubs are crying poor. And this is after moving the goalposts with the network, saying, well, when that comes online, you know, you just wait till we start getting the TV money. And that's been tamped down. I think some of those projections probably aren't what they were. And I don't know if that is a process of negotiations or what we're learning about the pandemic, because sometimes these things are counterintuitive, Andy. Sometimes where, mm-hmm. I mean, it may just be that it's the best thing to happen to a television deal. If people can't be there and they want to consume Cubs baseball, you know, those of us who have the radio rights are kind of sitting pretty, and those of us have the television, those with the television rights may say, you got to come through us now.
Yeah, I mean, that does make some sense, especially, you know, in a situation like this where, yeah, you would want to get on as many televisions as possible in your market. And obviously, like, the Chicagoland market is pretty significant. It's not just, you know, in Illinois. So I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I just, you know, the Cubs are so interesting to me because, like, on the one hand, you can't really say they're cheap because they're spending money. They've just kind of, like, not spent it wisely in a lot of different ways. And so they just have a lot of contracts that you don't feel great about. And then it started to actually like affect their ability to make additions on the margins. And that's like the worst of both worlds, you know, where you're spending money. And so you're not bringing, you know, you have that sort of bleeding your revenue, but also like you're not able to actually go out and improve the roster. So you have a chance to compete. It's a bad spot. It's not where you want to be.
So we're here at opening day. We have come this far. However we've done, yeah, whatever we're doing, there is going to be baseball tonight. And there has been talk. We had Ian Happ on the show earlier, who happens to be the Cubs player rep, and he wasn't able to shed any light on the status of the negotiations. But we learned that we could have expanded playoffs if they agree, if both sides come to some kind of short-term, single-season expanded playoff agreement before the first ball is thrown tonight. It could happen. Are you hearing it's likely?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be difficult to get it over the finish line this late in the day, but obviously the owners are very motivated towards doing this, and for unknown reasons, the players, I guess, have some interest in it as well. So, I think it's an awful thing for the sport. I think it's
why?
Like, because it incentivizes teams to try less and spend less, because it makes having, you know, a juggernaut type team the way the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Astros are set up, and it makes it less worthless because it's easier to get into the postseason. So why would I spend X amount of dollars, you know, on this elite player? I can just build an 87 win team. Why am I trying to get to 92 wins? I think it's just the addition of the second wild card has been disastrous in my opinion, and I think this would only just further continue it.
So if the travel protocols sound like they're as solid as they can possibly be, how much infection can the league weather? That's really my question here is, you know, how far down into your pool of players can you go? Can you lose whole teams, and let alone what's happening with the Blue Jays right now? I'm just wondering what are our sort of last resort issues here? What would trigger a shutdown?
Well, there's three ways that a shutdown that can be triggered according to the operations manual, right? It's the one is that if there's a statewide or states or federal travel ban, which doesn't seem particularly possible given, or not possible, but likely given the way this country is elected to handle this pandemic. Then the other one is if, you know, that basically players feel unsafe and, you know, basically raise enough of a stink for Rob Manfred to hit the kill switch, or if teams believe it is negatively affecting, you know, sort of the competitive balance, I guess. So really it's just like the federal government and state stepping in or Rob Manfred hitting the kill switch. There's no objective baseline that says this is too much. It's a subjective thing, and we're going to find out what teams' thresholds are for basically for pain. I mean, it's a really gross situation when it comes down to that, but that is part of the, you know, basically that's baked into the equation of trying to play baseball in the midst of a pandemic. You're going to find out what teams are willing to tolerate, what players are willing to tolerate. I think I will say the players, especially the players on contending teams, are taking this very seriously based on everything we've heard and been able to see. You know, they are committed to trying to be safe and trying to be responsible. I think that is a really, really positive thing for American society to see, you know, the youngest and the healthiest behaving properly. But it's just going to get so much tougher when teams are on the road. The, you know, compliance is going to get harder and harder to enforce deeper and deeper into the season just because it's hard to practice that sort of discipline. So it's just, we're going to see. I mean, I think it was encouraging that they got through summer camp without it falling apart, but it's going to be a day-by-day proposition, really.
Andy McCullough, always great. Thank you, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me. Have a good one.
That is Andy McCullough of The Athletic. You heard Ian Happ on earlier talking about all kinds of things and getting ready to play baseball tomorrow. So we're going to bring back a chunk of what he had to say earlier on the show so you don't miss it. It's coming up next on The Score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
This is Andrew Bogish with a Radio.com Sports Minute. The last thing I want to do is defend Antonio Brown. He doesn't deserve it. I wouldn't pay the guy a dollar to be on my team, and I can't believe people are talking about him as a potential Hall of Famer. All of that aside, here's me defending Antonio Brown, and it's all the NFL's fault. Unofficially, Brown has now unretired for a third time in the last calendar year, and in doing so this time, he demanded the league concludes investigation of his various off-field problems and hand down any punishment. And Brown's right. The NFL certainly has bigger issues at hand right now, but I can't imagine it's not prepared to rule on his status. He's basically been suspended without actually being suspended since his unknown status has kept teams away. At the very least, Brown deserves to know where he stands with the league. Then it's up to teams to gamble on him. I'm Andrew Bogish.
It's been a real roller coaster tonight here in Angela's Kitchen. Saucy Gold just took the lead, but Blue Plate and Kale Green aren't far behind. Wait, what's this? Red Tomato has just overtaken Kale Green and is in position to pass Blue Plate. Not quite in time because we have a winner. SW6370 Saucy Gold! Ask Sherwin-Williams and bring home the color of your team spirit. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store today.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
The president of baseball operations for your Chicago Cubs is Theo Epstein. He joins me now.
Fans have to prepare for it to look a little bit different. The way almost everything is going to look a little bit different. And, you know, players are going to be wearing masks at all times except when they're on the field. They're going to be socially distanced. Yeah, even in the dugout, there's not going to be as much time spent indoors preparing for games. And simple things that you're used to seeing on the field that they're not going to be able to do. I think the right perspective to take on it, and it's something that we're all learning to do in almost every aspect of our life, is to maybe not compare it to what we've been used to, because that's a losing proposition and you end up seeing the negatives if you play that game and mentally. And instead, to look at it as an opportunity to sort of craft something new.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
If you're in the market for windows, you need to call Russ Armstrong. He's the owner of Chicago Window Guys. They make and install all their own products and offer a lifetime warranty on all parts and labor. I recently had my windows done, and Russ came out to the house and he looked around. He's like, well, what kind of windows do you want? And I said, I don't know anything about windows. I want glass ones. I don't know, the ones that move up and down. And he's like, all right, you trust me? Like, these are fine. These are great. Let me make the windows. And they're phenomenal windows. And if I can tell the difference between windows, trust me, you know you're getting good stuff. You will get the best price. You will deal directly with the owner. Call the Chicago Window Guys today at 847-881-3060. If you mention my name, you will get 10% off. 847-881-3060. And check out Russ's reviews at chicagowindowguy.com.
And now a game of Commercial Chicken, brought to you by Progressive, where we see how long Flo can go without talking about insurance. Ready? Go.
So, have you noticed how everyone's grammar is completely awful now? Like, you know, the texting and the LOLs. Whatever happened to punctuation? I mean, drivers who switch to Progressive can save big!
Okay, you win. We can't help but save customers money. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Pat Hughes here, radio play-by-play voice of the Chicago Cubs on 670 The Score. Listen to Ron Coomer and me on 670 The Score, your official destination to hear all 60 games of this unprecedented 2020 season.
Deep center field. There goes Taylor. It's got a chance. It's a grand slam. And the Cubs have won the ball game.
We've all been patiently waiting for the return of baseball. And finally, it's time to play ball.
A swing and a drive. Deep left center. It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Please remember to join Ron Coomer and me for every action-packed game of this unique 2020 season. Heard only on 670 The Score.
Rizzo drives one in the air to deep right field. This ball's got a chance! Gone!
Baseball's back, and so are the Cubs. Hear all 60 games on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Chicago's official radio home of the Cubs.
Be the best bartender on the block with the DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig. The DrinkWorks Home Bar makes over 30 cocktails, ciders, brews, and more at the push of a button. Here's how it works. Simply insert the pod, press start, and a perfectly poured drink is ready in under a minute. All you need is a glass and garnish with no stress or cleanup. So sip up summer with your new DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig. Visit DrinkWorks.com to order your home bar and see all the available cocktails. That's DrinkWorks.com. Cheers. Keurig is a registered trademark of Keurig Green Mountain Inc. Use under license. Please enjoy responsibly.
Only Wendy's 2 for 5 has all the chicken you crave. Choose from the crispy homestyle chicken sandwich, delicious spicy chicken sandwich, classic crispy 10-piece nuggets, or the legendary spicy 10-piece nuggets. But let's be real. You're gonna get 20 spicy nugs for $5. I mean, that's what I would do. Enjoy a real deal with the Wendy's 2 for 5. We got you.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary at U.S. Wendy's. A la carte only. Excludes made to crave.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon.
Eddie Olczyk.
The Blackhawks have as good as a chance as anybody, regardless of what happened. The matchup, Dan, if we do get back playing, the matchup between the Hawks and the Oilers, both teams lack defense. I play my rookie season. We played the Oilers in the conference finals. The Blackhawks, we were 4 wins away from going to the Stanley Cup final in my rookie season back in 85, and we were taking on the Oilers. And for people that may not be hockey fans, the Oilers at that time were the Patriots of today, right? Like every year they were on the verge of going to the finals or winning. That year in 85 playoffs, we lost in 6 games. It's still an NHL record for the most goals scored in a 6-game series in the NHL playoff history. I think there was like 62 goals scored in 6 games between the two teams.
Dan Bernstein, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Thursdays are always fun because it involves our conversation with the Cubs' Ian Happ. And Will, going forward, I'm excited to let you know, throughout the season, he's going to be joining us 9:30 on Thursday mornings, schedule permitting. They have to mess around, move around the time, depending on travel and scheduling, etc. But we look forward to his presence. A quick update here. The Seattle Kraken online store has crashed. That is a sign you've probably done the right thing. Yes, your new NHL team, the Seattle Kraken. And I can't wait to see the mascot. And whoever it is, I suggest it should be Vilma. But then Vilma can fight Gritty just for fun. But you know you've named a team correctly when your online store crashes. So
release the Kraken!
Yes, the Kraken have been released. And we also, just an update on the mascots you think that would be good to eat, because we thought it was going to be sockeyes, and you can't eat Kraken because of the nitrogen of the giant squid's blood. But, yeah, the Ducks, the Bucks, there are some others out there. I'd say the Ducks, pretty good, had it the other night. So Ian Happ was on, and I asked him whether he thinks this last-ditch, last-chance proposal to expand the MLB playoffs this year is going to happen.
I know that there's talks back and forth. I know that it makes sense for both sides to a degree, but there's always issues. There's always issues about logistics, about some of the monetary issues, and whether it makes sense for all the teams. So I know that it's a discussion between the PA and the league, and we'll see if it comes together in time.
And would it be temporary, or would it just be a new playoff format going forward?
No, this would be strictly for 2020, based on what we're experiencing this year, the length of the schedule, but it would have no impact on 21 or moving forward.
So how do you feel now? We've got a chance to watch you out there. You've played some left. You've played some center. There's been some good. There's been some not so good, and working through everything. Where are you right now?
I feel great. I feel great. My body's good. Seeing the ball really well. It was good at bats last night. And just ready to get going, ready to get playing.
You had some good takes last night. I mean, I watch takes as much as I watch swings because sometimes I get a better indication of where someone is. Just being able to spit on a really good pitch that you get you see it all the way. That was clear. Yeah, it was last night and a couple other times. I've just seen that you've been picking it up earlier and earlier as the action's gone on.
Yeah, that's the name of the game, right? It's to try to peak once opening day is upon you. So. I've been saying this for the last couple of weeks, you know, at this point in a normal spring training, we would just kind of be getting into games, just be getting into playing other teams. So I felt like, where I was, I didn't take anything too hard, just focused on seeing the baseball, focused on making sure my eyes were there, getting my timing right. And I think I'm at a point right now where I feel really confident, really ready to face, guys in a different uniform.
I heard David Ross talking about a unified team action when it comes to a statement regarding social justice. What have those discussions been like internally? I know Jason Hayward has been really involved. And can you give us any indication of what the team is going to do as a unified gesture?
Yeah, there's going to be a gesture for the entire league. There's going to be a lot of things over the next couple days. That fans are going to see, that the country is going to see, you know, we're going to stand with our teammates, our brothers, that we get to go to work with every day. And we're so lucky to have this opportunity to play with people from all over the world. And it really gives us, this special perspective. So, you're going to be seeing more over the next couple days. But it's been great to have the conversations in the clubhouse to hear, opinions from not only this country but all over the world, because that's what we get to do.
I'm just hopeful that it's unambiguous, that it's something that is clear and well articulated, that it can't be interpreted differently than it's intended.
Yeah, I think that's the goal for the entire league, is to make sure that we're we're unified, and that we believe in the message that we're putting out.
Great job with Chris Bryant, by the way. That was as relaxed and open, even vulnerable, as I've heard him. It's almost like he forgot he was doing a recorded interview. That's how you do it.
Yeah, it was really cool because, I mean, I've been Chris's teammate for a little while now, and so I understand what he goes through on a daily basis, and that it's not – being the MVP and the Rookie of the Year and being one of the best players in the league isn't as easy as it might look, or he makes it look. So just being able to get his perspective out there, to let fans and people that watch the game kind of hear that Chris Bryant goes through things too. You know, Chris Bryant isn't just given everything. You know, he works very, very hard. And he puts so much pressure on himself because he just cares so much. He wants to be the best for his teammates, for the city, and for the franchise. And I just think it's really cool to hear that perspective.
Well, and when I heard that you guys go to Baseball Reference and you look up your OPS, and sometimes he like the way we define ourselves, and we say, and no matter what line of work anybody's in, there are numbers attached. You know, how is a salesman selling? Is somebody doing what they can do to carry their weight? And the fact that you go to Baseball Reference and have to look is like, wow, my career OPS is pretty good. I can sleep well tonight. It really sort of personalized it for me to think that a Major League Baseball player, as decorated as he is, or as successful as anybody's been, still will literally click on a website and see a number and feel better about himself.
Well, sometimes you need a reminder, right? Because it doesn't matter how good you've done in your career. There's a lot in this game that's, what have you done for me lately? And it might be, what have you done for me today or yesterday in the last week? And I think that constant reminder of, hey, man, you're one of the best guys to ever play the game. What you've done so far in your career is exceptional, and it doesn't matter what you did this week or last week. At the end of the day, you are a very, very good baseball player.
But in a 60-game season, some of these nerves and everything that would come out in the wash over 162, and the comfort of the 162, and saying everything will be fine, you guys are going to need, you're going to need a mental plan, I think. You have to really figure out how you're going to confront this new reality of everything being so condensed. Because I would imagine if you do have these, you know, slumps or bouts of a crisis of confidence, it's going to be so much harder now with everything intensified.
Yeah, I think that's on the team. I think that's on the team and the coaching staff to make sure that the focus is really on winning. The focus is on the team. And you're going to have time to go in and out of things. You know, you're going to have, if you're an everyday guy, you're probably going to have, I don't know, 300 at-bats. Maybe that's a little high, maybe somewhere closer to 250. But it's just, it's important that as a team, we focus on winning. We focus on what you can do that day to help the team win, to have really consistent quality at-bats. I think if we do that, it'll take guys' focus off of the way that they're performing. Offense is very contagious. Hitting is very contagious. And I think if everybody's on that page where we're trying to move guys over, drive runs, and get on base for each other, I think you're going to see a lot of really good offensive statistics from our team.
Why do you say that hitting's contagious? Because as an evidence guy, most people that crunch numbers say everyone likes to think hitting's contagious, and maybe it is. Maybe it just means the pitcher's bad.
No, hitting is contagious because for many, many reasons. And that's because there is a competition between the batter and the hitter, or sorry, the batter and the pitcher every single second. And what the guy in front of you does influences the way that guy's going to pitch to you. If the guy in front of me has a 12-pitch at bat and that pitcher gets him out, he just took a little breath before he faced me. And if he makes a mistake to me, that's when we get him. And what people don't see is that the guy that hit the home run doesn't always deserve the credit. The guy before him or the guy before him, if guys are grinding at bats, if they're putting in such an intense effort that they get the dugout into the game, that they get the hitter behind them to see something that they didn't previously see, that's where hitting is contagious. One hit. One really good moment can change the course of a game. The other night we were playing the White Sox and the stadium was really quiet and their crowd noise was really low. And there just wasn't much energy in the stadium, especially first time for us going away from Wrigley. And I think we're in the sixth or seventh inning and Chris Bryant pulls a line drive foul and he hits our third base coach, Will Venable, like right in the ass, I think. And our dugout goes crazy. It explodes. We're down 5-0. Chris hits a single, one pitcher, two pitches later, and you have hit, error, error, hit. And before you know it, it's a 5-3 baseball game because Chris hooked a ball and hit our third base coach. It's those little things that people always don't get to see where the energy comes from, or hitting is super, super contagious. I really believe that.
That's interesting because a logician would call that the post hoc ergo propter hoc fallacy. That after that, therefore, because of that, because yes, it did happen after he hit Will Venable, but there's no, we couldn't actually prove that it was because of that. And that's where the anecdotal evidence and what players think may happen is absolutely immeasurable. And it's also sometimes you have to pay a lot of attention for that to matter. Like for you to say, if you're watching, Bryant leads off a game and has an 8-pitch at bat, and maybe a pitcher shows a pitch that he was holding back that you say, oh, he's got that now, or he's going to drop down, or he's changing the angle on something. And it gives you an idea that informs your next at bat. That means you got to pay a lot of attention, and you guys are kind of spread out. You're not going to be able to maybe share information the same way. Doesn't that get mentally exhausting?
Baseball is mentally exhausting. That's part of the game. That's the beauty of it. Baseball is not a video game. It's not a statistical simulation. It is very, very human. There are people playing this game, as you heard in the Bryant interview, that have these thoughts. They have worries. They have concerns. They have families at home. It is so much of a human game that if you're asking somebody to go up to the plate with no confidence or to go up to the plate when they're 0-10 and what that feels like, it's not a simulation. It is so, so human. And to discard energy and focus and intent and confidence and to say that those things don't matter and to make it completely about a simulation or statistics would just be not fair to the guys that go out and play every day.
Why is KB Big Bro?
Big Bro. Did you have you seen the picture? There's a picture of when Chris was rehabbing. Chris was rehabbing in Double A, and Zach Short was playing in Double A at the time. And there's a picture of Chris and Zach on the field. I'll put it on my social media today. But there's a picture of Chris and Zach on the field, and I think that the Tennessee Instagram account actually tagged the picture with both of them and said Big Bro, Little Bro. And Zach looks like he's 4'4" and Chris looks like he's 7'8". Like it's hilarious. I'll put it there's I have a little video I'm gonna put on my Twitter today, but it was a really good picture.
Yeah, I need to see it because I think, and Chris said something that he was wearing his pants all the way down, which gives him the illusion of being even taller.
Yeah, I think he was wearing his up, and Zach was also wearing his pants up. And so okay. Chris, when you can see where Chris's knee comes up to Zach, like in the picture, the way it's set, like Zach's head looks like it's below Chris's shoulders.
All right, good. I look forward to seeing it. So what's the deal with Anthony Rizzo's boat and these much sought-after invites? I don't know what to picture here. Is it like that, like Dr. Dre's yacht or like Tiger Woods' yacht with a helipad on it and the whole thing? Or is it more like, you know, Rodney Dangerfield and Caddyshack?
I wish it was like that. That would be awesome. You know, Riz signed an extension when he was a little bit younger. I think he's probably going to wait for that next deal before he has any kind of Tiger Woods or Dr. Dre looking. Yeah, but his boat's awesome. He's the captain. He's a great captain. You know, he's a Florida boy, so he loves being on the water. And it's just a nice place to get out and relax, especially when in a normal season we have a bunch of day games in Chicago. It's nice Friday, Saturday to jump out on the boat after a game.
So do you fish, or does he just go to the playpen and you guys drink rum and turn red?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say that we're doing a bunch of drinking rum and turning red, but just go out on the water, you know, in a normal summer when there's fireworks twice a week, you can go do that. And it's a nice place for us to get away and kind of relax, you know. It's so beautiful going out there and looking back at the city.
Yeah, you're very lucky, too, to not have the seasickness problem. And I don't know if you just figured out how to get your sea legs, but those of us who, once you go there, it's like never going back. Once you start to lose it a little bit, and I am really sensitive to that.
Man, I've never had an issue with it, thankfully. I'm not really sure what I would do if I was out there and started to feel sick. I think I would just get off at the nearest exit and kind of crawl back to my apartment.
It's horrible. You want to die. It's like as close as you actually come to wanting to die. It is that miserable to be. And I'm a fisherman too. So like I love it. I love fishing, and I can't do swells. I can do the golf. I can do lakes. I can do the whole thing. But if it starts just gently, slightly moving up and down, forget it. Yikes.
No, I'm out on that completely.
Okay, well, look, if maybe Riz will invite me, we'll stay in the playpen and everything will be fine. When you and Bryant were talking about social media, too, and about how you engage and just how insane people can be, and Bryant kind of smiled about it, and he's like, you know, dude, really? You're going there? You're saying that? And I deal with it. We all do. Anybody who's even slightly public facing and has opinions is going to deal with it. But do you interact differently during the season?
Yeah, definitely. This will be probably the first season that I'm actually exposed on social media as we continue to do the podcast and continue to work on some of the things that I'm doing. But I think it's just being diligent in making sure that you're not, it would be crazy to say that nobody sees what people say to them or what people tag them in, but it's being diligent and understanding that you're confident in yourself, you're confident in your ability, and that we do this for a living. We understand what's happening on the field, and just being able to watch the game and make some snap judgment is insane.
All right, next time you have Chris Bryant on, I want to know why Joey Votto is his favorite player of all time. Because he said that in your discussion, and when you guys were talking about how loaded third base is and how loaded first base is, and I think we're talking like Team USA, and then I'm thinking, well, Joey Votto is Canadian, so he wouldn't be on Team USA. But he just sort of casually dropped that in. Bryant said, Joey Votto is my favorite player of all time. I found that interesting.
I absolutely love Joey Votto, too. I'm a huge Joey Votto fan. He's great to talk to at first base. Always enjoy getting his opinion. He's also the one of the most impressive hitters to watch, just the way that he goes about his business. He, the way that he fouls pitches off, his eye, his commitment to his plan on a daily basis. He's one of the greatest hitters of our era, of our generation. I think if you go back and you look at what he's been able to accomplish in his career, it's very, very impressive.
What are the first base conversations like when they're not baseball-y? Is it just, you know, how's your family? How's everything going? Or is, you know, I got a stock tip for you? What's talked about?
Yeah, I think a lot of it right now is going to be, hey, man, how's your family? How's everything? How's the downtime? Just make sure everybody's okay around them. I think that's the biggest thing. Just, you have to check in with guys. You like to make sure everybody's doing okay. And it is a brotherhood. It is a group of guys that understand each other, understand what we're going through. So just to check in with guys, make sure everybody's doing well.
That's Ian Happ. He joins us every Thursday here on The Score. I don't know if you heard Governor J.B. Pritzker yesterday talking about an uptick in cases in East St. Louis, Illinois, and that whole area. Well, I'm blaming Chris Ranji. I think it's his dumb state's fault and his dumb state governor's fault that people in Illinois are now getting sick because they're bringing over the St. Louis virus. So we're going to blame Chris Ranji next on The Score.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Morning Show. Start your day with the stories that matter to Chicago sports fans. Live at 5. Mike Mulligan and David Hall. They're live and they're local. From the city you love. Doing it for the city you love. Mullion Hall, where Chicago goes for sports talk. Mornings 5 to 9. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score. A radio.com sports station.
This segment is brought to you by Amco Transmissions and Total Car Care.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
If you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance your existing home, you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local mortgage professionals. Meet Gina, global hotel chain executive, whose kitchen was outdated when she moved into her home 20 years ago, called to do a cash-out refinance to renovate her kitchen and build an emergency fund. Team Hochberg helped Gina secure a cash-out refinance to access $70,000 of her home's equity and gave her a full closing cost credit. Thankfully, Gina's job is safe for now, and she's in the process of redesigning and renovating her kitchen while putting $20,000 into an emergency fund. If you'd like to see how Team Hochberg could restructure your mortgage to help you gain access to your home's equity to remodel and build an emergency fund like they help Gina, or just lower your monthly payments to ease the economic challenges caused by coronavirus, call 855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. Team Hochberg has helped thousands of Score listeners, but they can't help if you don't call. 855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. Homeside Financial, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 1124061.
Things are opening up and the roads are slowing down. Remember the quickest way to stay informed. WBBM Traffic and Weather together on the 8s. Exclusively on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Chicago's weather station.
It all starts with just one thing. This summer, consider gardening indoors. Miniature citrus, pineapple, and tomato plants can all be grown indoors as well as outside. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Thanks for streaming The Score.
McNeil and Parkins. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Former Bears head coach Dick Geron.
That whole team was an outstanding team. We really had the ability, I thought, to go the whole way. And I think if Jimmy hadn't got hurt in our playoff game, I think we could have done that. Both sides of the ball. Big, strong, fast, tough. But the defense could just swallow you up. We had a big, strong, and tough defensive line. And Brian in the middle could just cover so much ground. It was shocking, I think, to our opponents, even our very fast opponents. I remember playing Atlanta with Michael Vick, and Brian could shadow him. And that's saying a lot. That's really saying a lot, because Michael could fly. But that was a tremendous team.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station. We'll be right back with more Dan Bernstein in 60 seconds on The Score.
It's been a real roller coaster tonight here in Angela's Kitchen. Saucy Gold just took the lead, but Blue Plate and Kale Green aren't far behind. Wait, what's this? Red Tomato has just overtaken Kale Green and is in position to pass Blue Plate. Not quite in time because we have a winner. SW6370 Saucy Gold! Ask Sherwin-Williams and bring home the color of your team spirit. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store today.
Did you know that the equivalent of a garbage truck's worth of plastic is dumped in the ocean every minute? 17.6 billion pounds every year. Seabirds are dying after mistakenly eating it. I'm actor Sam Waterston, and I don't want to pollute our oceans every time I buy my groceries, go out to eat, or purchase a beverage. You deserve a plastic-free choice. Join the campaign. Go to oceana.org/plastics today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
That music can only mean one thing, because he adopted it as his signature sound. And Chris Ranji, who is on Twitter at Chris Ranji, and our former Score colleague, who is now a co-host of the Fast Lane in St. Louis, he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. And I'm going to quote J.B. Pritzker here. Yesterday's in East St. Louis. And he says, right here in St. Clair County and Madison County, it's extremely important. The rates are too high. It's bringing the whole state up. And it's these unclean people from Missouri that keep crossing over and making Illinois a sicker and more unsafe place. And I'm blaming Chris Ranji.
The rates are too damn high.
Used cars? Is that right?
No. Don't you remember the guy who ran for president?
Oh, the rent. Yes, the rent is too damn high. There was a movie called Robert Zemeckis' film called Used Cars, a very underrated movie, which is actually, it may be the only good thing Zemeckis has actually ever done. It wasn't kind of hacky. But there's a used car guy, and he's like, $2,400 for a Camaro? That's too high.
Yeah, I wish that guy would have won.
People sick.
Okay, no. I think JB, and God bless him, I think he's done a pretty nice job, with everything that we know. And I think he's wrong about this. At least anecdotally, I will tell you right now, I am from the Metro East. My hometown of Granite City is in the Metro East. My mom still lives there. And she is beside herself every day by the amount of people in town who just don't care about anything. Like, they don't think any of this is a big deal. So they are not taking any precautions. It is not uncommon to drive through town or to go to any store or anything in Granite City, which is in the Metro East, and people are just not wearing masks. So for him to say that it's people from Missouri crossing over.
Well, I might have added that.
Oh, well, I think he did he not say that, though, that it was that?
Yeah, he might have implied it. Yeah,
I think he was implying that people who live on the Metro East side work in Missouri and they come over here and then they take it back to Illinois. But that's OK. That might be some of it. But the people on the Metro East side, on the Illinois side where I am from, do not care about this thing. They do not think it's a big deal, and they are walking around like nothing's happening.
Well, it doesn't help that your idiot governor had that comment about, well, just going to send kids back to schools and they're going to get it and they'll live through it and they're just going to get it and people get sick.
Oh, this governor is a dolt. And the only reason he's even in office is because the guy before him was like, I don't know, I think he was messing around with some other guy's wife. And then he got thrown out of office. So this dude just took over a couple of years ago. So he didn't even get elected. But he is a numbskull. And he, like, the entire time when this was going on all the way back in March and things were starting, he was the slowest. He was one of the worst governors trying to, put any sort of measures in place. He was like the last to adopt everything. He's terrible.
Well, the St. Louis Cardinals are back in action, and that means everything is all happy again. I have found it really interesting to hear what the Cubs have said about not just what they're doing, but what baseball is doing regarding social justice and standing on the right side of history. St. Louis has had, like a lot of cities, a difficult history with regard to minority tension, and relatively recently. How's it playing there? How is it playing in that town with that history, with all the stuff that Dexter Fowler's talked about and Jason Hayward has talked about?
Well, I think it plays about as you would expect it to play. I mean, there are still a lot of people who just don't want to talk about it. They don't want to bring it up. It's very uncomfortable for them. But they're kind of, in a way, and I'm curious to see how this season goes, because they're going to be forced to pay a little bit of attention, because one of their best players is very vocal about it, and that's Jack Flaherty. He tweets a lot about it. He has no filter whatsoever. If he has opinions on Black Lives Matter and social injustice, and he is not afraid to say anything, and he doesn't care where he plays. He doesn't care that he's in Major League Baseball. He doesn't care that he's got a pretty short career. He does not feel like he has to hold back at all. So I'm really curious to see how he handles the season when he starts to get more and more attention and games are on television. And, you know, we'll see what happens from there. But I think he's not afraid to be vocal. And I think it'll be an interesting conversation when his voice is heard, not just on Twitter, but on TV. Because I think there's going to be a point where you're going to hear him speak, or you're going to see some sort of gesture that he makes. And then people will have to confront it. And I'm curious to see how that goes.
You know, it's something about that high school. You know, Lucas Giolito, his comments, yeah, his thoughts have just been tremendous as well. And I want to say at one point, Max Fried, the lefty from, yes, the Braves, was also at the very same high school. It must, yep, be quite a place if they're producing some of these really thoughtful, well-rounded, nice young men.
And baseball players, too.
Right. Like, I'm just saying, forget the baseball aspect of it.
Right. I mean, it's pretty incredible. First, did you get that? But then all of them, they're very close. I know for a fact that Giolito and Flaherty are really close, and they still, you know, they hang out whenever they get the opportunity, or they used to. I'm not sure how close they are with Fried, but I know those two are still pretty tight. And yeah, I mean, it's a pretty, it's an amazing coincidence that all of them are together, or maybe it has something to do with the high school or the environment they grew up in. But I don't know as much about what Giolito has done over the last few months, but I could tell you for a fact that Jack Flaherty, even going back to the, you know, the stuff about the negotiations between the Players Association and the league, he was very outspoken, you know, very pro-player, obviously, but he was not afraid to talk about that. And for somebody who's relatively young to be that vocal about all of these issues within a very short period of time, I think is kind of remarkable, especially in baseball, because you know how the game is. It's one of those sports where the veterans tend to shout down the younger players, mm-hmm, and you don't, mm-hmm, hear much from the younger players because the younger guys defer to the veterans and they just kind of want to keep quiet and stay in their lane. But you've got a lot of young players who are not following that, and I think it's great.
Chris, continued good health to you, and say hi to your mom.
Well, I hope you get measles.
So noted. Duly noted and placed into the record and probably seconded multiply. Thank you, Chris.
I love you.
Love you, too. Chris Ronji, one of our guests today, joining Ian Happ, Scott Powers, and Andy McCullough on that list. Thanks to Jay Zawoski, to Ray Diaz, and our video director, Brian Gertsch, who runs our Twitch feed. And if you're not joining the conversation on Twitch, go ahead and do that now. We are stepping into new and more interesting spaces. Wear your mask over your nose and mouth. Please, 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 I beg you, if you're in Mariano's or Jewel, especially if you're in the Greek town Mariano's later today, all my kids playing hockey at Johnny's and I gotta go get dinner, please put your mask over your nose and mouth. Also, wash your hands, stay distant as best you can, and if you're one of these young stupid people, don't go into bars and hang there, because people are gonna keep you from doing that. So let's get on the right side of this thing and make sure we're all healthier for it. Tomorrow, Theo Epstein at 10 o'clock, and then Jason Benetti is going to join me at 11 o'clock. Lawrence Holmes is back next. He's got Zach Zaidman at 12:20, Evan Altman at 1, and Brent Sopel coming your way at 12:40. So keep listening to doctors and listening to people who listen to doctors, and I'll be back for a fun Friday show tomorrow at 9. Have a great day.
Thanks for keeping us the number one sports station in Chicago. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Hey, this is Jay Zawoski. Happy opening day. Baseball is back. Hockey's back in about a week, and I cannot wait to get betting on FanDuel Sportsbook. I've always been sort of intimidated by placing sports wagers, but the FanDuel Sportsbook has made it easy. It is America's number one sports book for a reason. They have more ways to win. If you can dream it, you can bet it through FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel offers spreads, parlays, money lines, over-unders, props, and in-game bets all in an easy-to-use app. I love those in-game bets. I'm going to be doing some of those with tonight's action in baseball. Unlike other sports books, by the way, FanDuel accepts most major payment options, and when you win, you can receive your winnings in your bank account in as little as 48 hours through their safe and secure process. And by combining your sportsbook account with your fantasy account, you can use your winnings across both products. Check out the FanDuel Sportsbook app. FanDuel, more ways to win. Must be 21 plus. Location and other restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details and for help with a gambling